There was a 6-year-old boy who was helping mom with the gardening, and he was so absorbed with the flowers as they were beginning to come out towards the end of May, the beginning of June. At one point, the boy picked up a daffodil bud, and he sat down on the ground and he studied it carefully. And then with his two little hands, he tried to force it open into full blossom. And of course, as a result, there was nothing but disappointment as the petals fell to the ground and a dead flower. Frustrated, he cried out, "Mummy, Mummy, why is it that when I tried to open the bud, it just fell into pieces and it died? How does God open it into a beautiful flower?" And before Mom could answer, he said, "Oh, Mummy, Mummy, I know the answer. God always works from the inside. God always works from the inside." And that's how it is with God's kingdom and the work of God's Spirit, that sometimes we just want people to see. We want them to open up to God, and we force them. And it never works, does it? Never. Well, Jesus in today's gospel, in talking with the scribe, helps us to see that the work of God is an inside job. Now, the scribe, this man was a biblical scholar. This was a man who truly loved God. And you see, there's a respect and a love and an interaction that exists between Jesus and this scribe that is, I think, unparalleled in his interaction with the authorities with whom he was often in conflict. But I don't think with this man. I think here, this scholar wants to try to understand, so how do we make sense of it all? And here's one of the things that you might know about the scribes, that they looked at the first 5 books of the Old Testament, called the Torah, the Pentateuch, and that they found within the first 5 books of Holy Scripture 613 laws. And what this scribe was wanting to ask Jesus was, so how do we make sense of all of these laws? How do we bring it all together? How do we find the overarching biblical principle from the Torah? And what does Jesus do? He quotes 2 passages from the first 5 books of the Old Testament. He quotes, first of all, from Deuteronomy, and then he will quote from the book of Leviticus. And something that we don't have any record of before Jesus is how he brings together Deuteronomy and Leviticus and says, this is what it is all about. And all of us know this passage very, very well. The first thing he quotes is from the book of Deuteronomy, chapter 6, verses 4 and 5, called the Shema, which in Hebrew means to hear. Ah, this gets to the heart of it, doesn't it? For this to be an inside job, our ears have to be open to hear. And what is it that the Lord says we are to hear? That the Lord our God is Lord alone. Now, of course, for the Jewish people, they understood that he is Yahweh, a name that is so honored and so respected that they couldn't spell the whole thing out. They only took the consonants. They didn't use the vowels, because the name Yahweh was the name that is above every name. But not only is he one, they now began to understand by the name of Jesus that he is the God of the universe, that there is no other God. And here's the thing that happens in our lives. When we come to that deeper realization that God is one and that there is no other, then we recognize that this life that you and I have been given is to be given over to him totally. And that's exactly what Jesus says. Oh, when this inside job happens in our lives, we come to a deeper realization that we are to love him with all of our heart, with all of our soul, with all of our mind, and all of our strength. The heart. We get the word cardiac. Cardia is the Greek word. With all of our heart means that from the very inner depths of the person, the wellspring from which our decisions and actions flow. That is the heart. And then Jesus says, with all of our soul. The word in Greek is the word psyche, from which we get the word psychological. And also in the New Testament, interestingly, this word soul is synonymous with the word life. And so we are to love Jesus with all of our life. We are to love God, as he says, in this way. Who would ever save his life will lose it. And whoever loses his life for my sake and for the gospel's will save it. Our life. There's nothing else that we have to offer to God than our life. But isn't it beautiful that this is synonymous with the word soul? For we understand that the soul was given to us by God. And after we die, our soul will leave the body. Our life will leave the body. Isn't that a beautiful way to think about death? At death, our life will leave and go to be with God. But Jesus says we have to, in this life, understand that it's as we lose our life to him that we will truly gain it. Jesus said the same about the Son of Man. He said, the Son of Man came not to be served, but to serve and to give his life, the same word in Greek, it's the word psyche, to give his soul for a ransom for many. Oh, with the heart, with the life. But here's the beautiful thing about Christianity. It doesn't leave the brain and check it at the door. We are to love God with all of our mind. Some of us are doing something called the Pivotal Players on Thursdays. We're going to do it today. If you want to join us, we're going to look at the life of G.K. Chesterton. And one of the things Bishop Barron does in this series is he starts with St. Francis. He then goes to Thomas Aquinas. He then goes to St. Catherine of Siena. He then goes to Michelangelo, to Newman, and today to Chesterton. Oh, there's something beautiful about the Catholic tradition. It allows us to love God with all of our mind. And then Jesus says, the heart, the soul, the mind, and with all of our strength. And that's the thing about being a Christian. You can't be a Christian by just lying on your bed, sitting as a couch potato. It requires your strength. It requires your movement. It requires you doing, God bless you, what you do every morning when you come to Mass. It requires your action. And so Jesus says, this is at the heart of it. When we love God this way, we will see that there is only one God. He is the God of the universe, and he is my God, and I'm giving myself to him. But Jesus isn't done yet, nor am I. He then goes to Leviticus chapter 19, verse 18, and he says, you shall love your neighbor as you love yourself. And so this is so profoundly simple, but it is at the heart of everything. It is the Ten Commandments. It is the cross. That as we grow in loving God, the vertical dimension, we grow in a true love of ourselves, where the vertical and the horizontal meet, so that we can then love our neighbor. They are inseparable. Our love for God is concretized and expressed in how we love our fellow human beings. Like the two great commandments, the vertical, the horizontal, is what life is all about. And that's why in today's epistle, St. Paul is so clear in understanding that if we deny him, he will deny us. Why? Because if we have rejected God, if we deny his existence, there's no way that we will know him, because we have shut the door on him. There's a beautiful painting called Jesus Christ, the Light of the World, by a British artist called Holman Hunt. And in this painting, Jesus is standing at a door that is grown over with all sorts of weeds. And when you look at it, you realize there's no handle on the outside. It's only on the inside. And Jesus is standing at the door and knocking. But if we deny him, if we say no to him, if we shut the door to him, he's not going to come and break it open. But then St. Paul says something beautiful. If we are faithless, he remains faithful because he cannot deny himself. There's a difference between denying God and struggling at times with our faith. To those who struggle with their faith, Jesus is the God of all compassion, of all understanding, and he wants to draw us back to himself. Why? And with this I conclude. Because you know what you are? Do you know what I am? We are delicate flowers. And love can never be forced when God is dealing with something as beautiful as you, with someone as beautiful as me, with a garden as beautiful as St. Peter's. Ah, but here's the wonderful truth. Although such love can never be forced, when we open ourselves to the light of grace, the Holy Spirit can work in ways that allow us to flower in the way that God designed. And there is nothing more beautiful in the world. There is nothing the world needs more. There's nothing more that contemporary Canadians need than this reality. To know the God of the universe, to love him with all their heart, mind, soul, and strength, to love one another, and so to give glory to God as a daffodil does, as it radiates its beauty in the presence of the sun.